Welcome back to Marvel Good Yay, the spinoff of the Geek Easy podcast, where we're going back to revisit all of the MCU films leading up to the release of Avengers Endgame. I am Pixel Dan.
Jonathan Leonard.
And Jeremy McCaffrey.
And I hope you guys are ready, because today we are talking about Thor Ragnarok. The best of Thors.
The best of Thors. by a long margin.
By a long shot.
This is the Thorest movie I've ever seen.
This movie. I don't even know how this is going to go. I don't know how we're going to even break this down and discuss it.
Man.
I just know I have watched this movie probably more than any of the other movies, simply because I have a five-year-old who is enthralled with this movie.
Yeah.
It's got great Hulk stuff in it, so that's what draws him in. And every time it's on, I sit down and I watch it again because I love this movie.
It's fantastic.
It is so good. It is so funny. It's got just some amazing scenes. God, it's good. It's awesome.
I think Thor is the funniest person ever.
Funniest Avenger.
Yeah. You know, well, and like if there's an argument to be had for competition there, it might be Loki.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, Banner gets honorable mention.
Yeah,
man. You know,
like
everyone in this movie is just the best thing ever, and they're all just thrown at the screen at the same time.
Yep.
It's amazing to see kind of like the direction these characters have taken. Like they threw him into this movie and just kind of were like, all right, have fun with it, guys.
Right.
Just go at it. Because, like, we talked about, like, Thor 2 ranks so low on all three of our lists of the MCU films. It's just certainly among the weakest of all of the Marvel movies.
Yep.
And the drastic difference between that movie and this movie is night and day.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. There is no wider spectrum shift.
Yeah.
Any, you know? And we've got, you know, Captain America 1 went from World War II war epic,
like period piece,
number two being basically a 70s thriller to number three being basically an Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Like none of those are stylistically anywhere similar, and none of them can touch the difference between Thor 2 and 3.
Yeah, right? You know? It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Gosh, okay, so let's just we'll go ahead and start with your stats. Let's go ahead and do that first,
and then we'll
just dive right into this thing because there's a much to talk about.
All right, we have $180 million.
It's gonna be an hour and a half of us quoting this movie,
just
right?
Quoting it, yeah, for real.
You know, let's talk about it for 10 minutes and then just pause the podcast, and everybody can just go watch Ragnarok.
That's all they need to do. Yep.
$180 million production budget, so right on range with a lot of these solo ones here. $315 million domestic total, $538 million foreign, worldwide cuma $853.9 million. So that's the last movie we did was Spider-Man Homecoming, and that came in right around 810, somewhere in that range. So a little bit more than Homecoming did, but right in that same basic range.
Yep.
So more than some of your, you know, Doctor Stranges and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Way less than your Avengers, obviously. Still undeniably a financial success.
Right, right.
And, you know, right along the same lines as far as the domestic versus foreign split. Whole world loves these movies.
Yeah.
Man, that's awesome.
So this is, before, you know,
I'm
before
a little
we jump
surprised
into the
this
movie,
didn't make more.
Well, you know, it almost, man, it feels like a reboot. Almost.
It's good coffee.
You know, after the first two Thors, like this one is so different and so much better. It feels like this should be wrapping up the Thor trilogy.
Yeah.
You
know,
we talked about how Iron Man wraps up the Iron Man trilogy pretty good.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
Civil War kind of brings a close to the Captain America tragedy.
Yeah. Right.
Right. This, it feels like, you know, this should be kind of wrapping up the Thor trilogy. And it feels like, well, we're just shooting off in a whole new direction here.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I want and more of these movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
I feel like the way they end it kind of does fill that void. Right,
I mean,
there.
It does,
but stylistically, like, yeah, you're absolutely
yeah.
right. And it leaves it so open at the end where it's like, now we theoretically could do more of these movies.
Right.
We also know where that leads.
Well, we
up,
know where it leads, but right now,
But when you're actually ending and leaving this movie, that's exactly the feeling you got. It's like, well, now the whole universe is open.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do still think that they, like, I'm talking from, like, a fan stand, story-wise, they obviously are wrapping up Thor's story.
Yeah.
You know, they've destroyed spoilers, you know, jumping to the end, you know, they've destroyed Asgard and he's finally accepted his throne, you know, as King of Asgard, more or less, whatever. Loki is a good guy now,
yeah.
You know. For now. But, you know, like when we watch it, it's like, you know, this is not the follow-up to Dark World.
Yeah.
You know, it fits a little better with the first Thor, but still, man, like, I just want more of this. This is completely different.
Yeah.
Where is this Thor? You know, yeah. where's his sequel? You know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like,
yeah, so.
I have the image in my head of the pitch meeting for this, and it's basically an insane person walking up to Kevin Feige going, I got a vision. It's Thor. It's Jeff Goldblum. It's Hypercolor. Can I do it? And Feige just being like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right.
sounds about on par with, right. You know. The weirder the pitch, the better the movie we seem to end
apparently,
up with.
Apparently. So we last saw Thor in Civil War. No, not Civil War. Age of Ultron.
Because
that's where he had the vision of the Infinity Stones. Yep. And he makes a departure to go try to find the Infinity Stones, which basically leads into the start of this movie here. Mm-hmm. Where he's been captured at the beginning here of the movie.
Oh no, Thor's in a cage. Oh, no. How could this happen?
Yeah. He's talking to the skeleton.
Yeah.
which gosh, even the beginning of this movie just totally sets the tone for the whole thing, right?
Right.
Like he's dangling by that chain in front of the villain.
What's his name?
Sartor.
Okay, yeah, so he was going to bring Ragnarok to Asgard. That's his mission, his goal. And, like, he's doing his villain monologue to Thor while Thor's dangling on that chain. And every time Thor spins around backwards, he's like, oh, hold on. Hold on.
I'll be back around in a minute.
I'm not even moving. This is just doing it on its own.
Yeah. It's fantastic, man. It's so good.
Again, the moment they had the realization of how funny Hemsworth was, was when everything turned around, I think.
Yeah, you absolutely.
I've seen interviews where Hemsworth kind of talks about lobbying for and wanting to make it more of a comedy, you know, and being part of the, like, I'd really like, you know, I'd like to make Thor a little funnier.
Yeah.
You
know,
like, we should do this as a comedy.
Well, he was right.
Man.
Yeah.
He was super right. Good Lord. It was just the right move to make, especially after Thor the Dark World. So then we just get this great action scene right at the beginning because he calls in Mjolnir and just lays it down on all of these things.
I will never hear that Led Zeppelin song
again. This is the first time we hear that Led Zeppelin song in this movie because it happens twice, but it's so perfect. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's
amazing. That is almost literally the only song in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I remember watching the credits through to the end.
Yeah.
And when, you know, the music's always the last part, and there's like four things on there.
Yeah.
And it's like one of them's like the Age of Ultron theme, and one of them's like the Thor theme, and one of them's that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory theme,
and then this
Led Zeppelin song, and that's like it.
Yeah. It does have a great soundtrack, though, too.
Soundtrack is amazing.
It's all that synth wave stuff, but it's just so cool, and it's perfect, especially for the setting of this movie.
Yes.
It's awesome. But yeah, that Led Zeppelin song, man, it's so perfect for Thor anyway. I mean, God, it's amazing, right? And so that scene's so fantastic, just watching him just wreck everybody the way Thor does with Mjolnir, which is great because it's also kind of one of our last Mjolnir scenes.
Yeah.
Which that they're kind of building up to here, which is a little sad to think about in retrospect. But he ends up breaking out of there and escaping. He's calling for Heimdall, and he doesn't realize, like, Heimdall's gone at this point, right? Heimdall's...
Well, he does that trick on the bad guy, basically, like Black Widow does so many times in the first Avengers movie, where he's like just pretending to be caught there so the bad guy will tell him too much information.
Yeah.
So he gets what he wants, and then he's like, all right, I'm going to get out of here, and then can't leave.
Yeah, yeah, which is why he's got to fight, yeah.
All I have to do is take that tiara off your head.
Yeah. So then we get introduced. That's when we get introduced to Scourge.
Carl Urban, man.
Yeah. In Asgard, because Heimdall's in hiding or something right now, right? He's because of what we find out, what's going on there with Loki and everything,
which we know.
But we know. So
man, that's another thing though. It's been so long since Dark World.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
So we forget that, like...
Yeah, because we haven't seen Loki in forever.
Yeah, Odin hasn't really been there. It's been Loki the whole time as Odin, and nobody else knows that except for us, the audience.
Right.
Yeah. So Scourge is kind of the one keeping the gate right now, the Rainbow Bridge and all that good stuff. And he's, this is such a great scene too.
Got all that stuff.
He's got all his, behold my stuff.
You know, man, I never even thought of that, but that's, I mean, Dark World was like 2013 or 2014 at the latest. And this is late 2017.
Yeah.
We went like three or four.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went 3 or 4 years there without any Loki.
Right.
Yeah.
That seems insane right now.
Yeah.
I mean, going back watching all these movies in such rapid succession, he's in so much of
it.
You know, that long of a gap, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
So,
so I one of the things that I like about this scene, you know, we've seen, all we've seen so far is of Asgard is like noble.
Yeah.
You know, like you know, almost like this kind of pantheon. You know, we know there's a people, but they're all kind of perceived as God. You know, the Warriors Three. You know, even Loki is, you know, above. You know, he's the God of mischief.
Yeah. Right, right.
Well, every time I do those wide-ranging shots of Asgard, I get like a little bit of the chills, you know.
Yeah.
Just to how epic the landscape is.
Yeah. So I like that right off the bat here, we get to see that there's kind of some doofus Asgardians.
Yeah.
You know, like here's Scourge, who's half an idiot.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got...
Shake weight.
You know. and he's got some bimbos there that are just like, oh my gosh.
He's just fawning over everything. Look at that shake weight. He's got his two like assault rifles too, the Dez and Troy. That he got from Texas.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting to see that, there's some idiots up there, too.
Yeah, totally. So he finally, like, brings Thor back.
Right.
Because one of the bimbos is like, should you be getting that?
Yeah.
Because, like, Thor's like a phone's ringing or something.
Yeah.
So
I'm dull.
Yeah.
I like how he has to look through his pile of junk for the sword.
His stuff. Behold my stuff.
Yeah.
So I like how he thinks it's a moment he gets to show off too in front of the girls, because he's like, oh, you guys are here for something great. And overreacts by putting the sword in and turns it, and then Thor comes flying through with that dragon.
The visual we get before, because we get Thor on that world still just, you know, trying to stay away from everything.
Yeah.
And that dragon, fire dragon thing breaks free, and he takes off with Mjolnir, and they do that really cool shot where they pan out and they've just got tiny little Thor flying with this giant thing like chasing right behind him, which I just thought was really just really cool looking.
Yeah.
And then the gate opens, so he goes into the Bifrost.
Yeah.
Comes out the other side, except when the door closes, that dragon who was right on his tail gets its head cut off.
And dragon gooey green blood flies everywhere.
Just explodes everywhere. It doesn't touch Thor.
Yeah, no.
It explodes on everything else.
Yeah.
The girls and Scourge.
Yeah.
Thanks for drenching my workplace in blood.
Yeah, that's great.
Carl Urban has to be one of like the underappreciated actors of our age.
That guy can do anything.
Yeah.
You know,
he does a great DeForest Kelly.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, from cheap action movie hero to weird superhero side character to Bones.
To Dredd.
Yeah,
by the way, if you haven't seen Dredd, go watch Dredd.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Yes.
So this is where Thor kind of stumbles upon the play that's going on right now. We get Loki as Odin, like watching this play.
So how great is it? Okay, so how great is it? We had Loki who, you know, tried to murder, you know, Thor, who came to Earth and tried to destroy Earth, and now that he runs Asgard, he's not trying to rule the Nine Realms. He's not. He's just laying around eating grapes, making plays of himself.
Putting
up big statues.
Right.
Yeah, a big statue of Loki.
Like, how insane, man! And I love that that's in the play.
Yeah.
Build a big statue to me. With my helmet with the big bendy horns.
Which is Matt Damon, by the way, randomly playing Loki in the play.
It's Matt Damon. It's one of Hemsworth's brothers, I think.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And Sam Neill.
Yeah. Well, and didn't you, I think you pointed out when we were watching Dark World that when he dies and that choir starts singing, it's the actual song that played in the Dark World when Loki died.
Yeah, so exactly. Well, and I love too in the play when he's like, when the Thor is like, Lady Sif, go get help. And she goes, somebody help! And just runs off. And I'm like, this, I just want to see this play, man. This play is amazing.
Well, everybody's so into it, and they're like, they're all like on the verge of tears and everything they're watching it. Oh my god, it's amazing.
So good, man. So good. Yeah. And it did too, man, because it is the same theme, and it totally killed it for me. Because when I was watching Dark World, and that as soon as the scene started playing, I was like, "Oh my, that's the I can't even see this right now." Yeah. Like, where's Lady Sif?
Somebody, help. Somebody help!
Amazing.
So good.
So good.
Well, I love how fast Thor figures it out, though.
Well, yeah. Thor knew because Sartor said something. Sartor said, because he was like, you know, he told
him Odin wasn't on Asgard.
Yeah, Odin's not on Asgard.
That's right, yeah.
So he had to figure it, you know. Right.
Yeah. And I think at that point, like, if you know Odin's not on Asgard and you fly up to Odin and see that play going on, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I like how
pretty sure at first.
Yeah. I like how he got him out of it, too. He just, he whips Mjolnir and is like, are you really going to make me do this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, do what? And he whips Mjolnir out there and then just puts his hand back. He's like, you know, nothing can stop that hammer from coming back to me. Not even your head.
Yeah.
Just right away. And I love that everybody, you know, right away he's like, I yield. And he transforms, right? Yeah. And everybody is standing there. And, you know, there's almost like this. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like this outrage that we've been following, you know, this king, royal imposter.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, look, of course it's Loki. Why? How didn't we know?
Loki.
You know, Sam Neill peels off his thing all annoyed. Dude.
It's so amazing. That's awesome. Awesome. So good. Oh, my God.
So then we get the
because Loki's like, I know exactly where he is.
Yeah.
And then that's when they cut to the Earth scene.
Yeah.
Where that Shady Acres.
Yeah. The old people's home is getting bulldozed. Yeah. I swear I left him right here.
Odin in an old folks' home on Earth like 4 years ago.
Right.
also immediately when that scene started, I took note of how Loki was dressed like all in black, you know? And then right after that, they make the joke about it. You know?
Yeah, I'm not a witch.
Yeah,
why do you dress like one?
You want to dress like one?
Thor has to take that selfie.
Yeah, you take a selfie with us. They're like, sorry about Jane breaking up with you. She didn't break up with me. I broke up with her. It was a mutual breaking up.
Yeah. And Loki just passes. Of course it was.
Well, what's a brother gonna do?
Right. then we get to go to
Sanctum Sanctorum.
Sanctum Sanctorum.
Well, the hole opens up in the ground.
The hole opens up under Loki, and Thor goes.
Thor gets mad.
Yeah. Thor's like, "What is this?" He's like, "It's not mine."
Right.
And then he just sucks
falls
down. And then that little business card's left there that says 166A Bleecker Street or whatever, which is awesome. So Thor goes to figure out what's going on, and he meets Doctor Strange.
Yeah. So Earth has wizards now.
Yeah. Everything in that scene is great.
Yep.
One, I really like seeing Doctor Strange already like an expert wizard now, you know.
Yeah.
So that, like, you know, obviously he's all in.
Yeah.
You know. But just the way Thor is, he keeps zapping Thor around and then,
oh man,
you know, he's disoriented every time.
Yeah.
The I don't drink tea, what do you drink?
Yeah.
Not tea.
The big mug of beer that keeps refilling.
That he chugs.
He chugs it. Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah, it's amazing.
He's like mad at Dr. Strange, like, well, you knew where he was. Why didn't you call me? Do you even have a phone? No, but you could have sent me an electronic letter.
It's called an email. Do you have a computer?
No. Why?
He goes, yeah. No, why?
That was the moment I kind of had the realization, because I remembered all those shorts with him as with that roommate, you know, and all those show that, like, that scene was just could have been one of those, you know, all those are like this schlub that's like, oh, this is what it's like having Thor as a roommate,
right,
you know,
it's where like the ride you're about to go on sort of cements itself,
like, oh, they're not backing off on this at all,
man.
We're not.
He calls Mjolnir to him, and you just hear it crashing through everything,
And it's hidden as a umbrella,
yeah. And it's just crashing through everything, like, for so long. And eventually Thor just kind of goes, sorry. Yeah. As it flies in his hand. It's
well, that's after, because my favorite part of that is that's when he starts zapping him around, like, in quick succession.
Yeah.
And then finally, in the final one, he's just, like, they zap to the front of the Sanctum Sanctorum, and he's just rolling down the stairs. Like, you know?
Well, and then when he gets Loki back, Loki falls and hits the ground, and he goes, I've been falling for 45 minutes.
Right.
Doctor Strange almost forgot about him.
Yeah.
Because he opens that portal and it's like, Odin's right through there. And he's like, all right, and my brother? And
yep.
He's like, oh, yeah.
Well, and I like the reasoning behind it was like, Doctor Strange sensed that Loki was on Earth, so he took care of that.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Like, that's the whole reason he went to get Thor. He's so your brother, why'd you bring him? And they're we're looking for Dad. And if you can find Dad, you'll leave because I can get you to Dad.
Yeah. He just wants to get him off. He wants to get Loki off the planet. That's awesome. Man, what a great scene.
You don't have a phone. Could have sent an electronic letter. It's called an email. So great, man.
I know
we already covered this. I don't care. It's just so great. Alright, so they go and they meet Odin.
Who's just standing out in a field somewhere.
He's on a fjord. He's on a fjord, man.
Yeah.
It's the fjords of Sweden. Yeah, wherever.
Wherever.
It's beautiful. Could be home.
Could be home.
Thor dies. Or Odin dies.
But right before is when he tells them, like, hey, by the way, you got a sister, and she's the goddess of death, and I locked her away a long time ago, but since I'm about to die, she's about to come back.
Right.
Sorry about your luck.
Yeah, thanks, Odin. Thanks, Dad.
And then we get introduced to Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett.
Not always into the goth look. Works fine on her.
Works great. Yeah, man.
I know. She looks great.
She's smoking. Also, man, how much fun is she having in this movie?
Oh, so much.
Totally.
Yeah. You know? I mean, she's a great actress.
Absolutely.
But, like, you can just see, you know, you can see on her face. She's just like, this is crazy. I'll just do this.
Yep. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's what, you know, like, you see her in so many more serious roles generally.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she's done some comedic stuff, but even the comedic stuff is, like, the high-end comedic stuff.
Right.
And so you can't really picture her as a super villainous.
Yep.
Until you see it.
Yeah.
And as soon as you see it, you're like, all right, she's all in.
Yeah.
I'm all in. Everybody's, this is great.
Just cuts loose and it's phenomenal.
And just eats, chews it up.
Yeah.
You know, in the best of ways.
Yeah.
Like, not hack at all.
Yep.
She's just enjoying her time there.
Right.
And playing it as hard villain as she can. You know what I mean?
Hey, and we've talked about, too, in the Thor movie specifically, how they've always gone gung-ho, straight up looking like the comic books, even with the crazy helmets and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they do the same thing with her.
They give her
crazy horned helmet straight out of the comic books. Like, she's instantly recognizable when she's in full hella gear, and it's awesome. It's so cool to see.
You know, it's one of those scenes they do so much with a short amount of time there, because they bring her out pretty quick.
Yeah.
And, it's not a long exchange, but even that little bit of verbal back and forth, you immediately know what you're dealing with from a character perspective there.
Right.
Right.
You immediately know how powerful she is because she just destroys Mjolnir right there, which is...
Catches it and smashes it.
Catches it and smashes it with her hand. Just
Which is bonkers, you know? And then even when Loki tries to run away, and she still just catches them.
Yeah.
I mean,
jumps right in the Bifrost and chases them down.
Right.
I mean, she's gotten, at this point, 90 seconds of screen time and has established herself as just an absolute force.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in all realms.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really cool, and it kind of shows that there was a reason that Odin had to lock her away before, right? Because she was like his basically right hand.
Yeah.
Person during like all the like
she
they
was
used,
his executioner.
She explained they kind of explained that he before he was a benevolent king he was conquering all the realms
right.
and she was right there with him helping him conquer all these realms and then one day he decided he wanted to be good and she wasn't down for that and that's why he had to lock her away
and you know throughout the movie they give her the chance to just be upset about that and never misses a beat and plays it perfectly through, and it's such a great aspect of you can feel how mad she is at Dad.
Yeah.
Right, it
totally seems legit.
Yeah.
Well, especially when she gets there and you've got the scene where like she she breaks the ceiling yeah. painting yeah. to reveal the original mural underneath, yeah. which shows her all over it, yeah. conquering the realms well, with that, Dad. You
know, every scene with her means something.
Yeah.
Every scene with her builds her in some way.
Totally. Whether,
even when she first shows up and she's basically introducing herself, you know, like, to the townspeople, and, you know, she's there to take over and makes no bones about that. And they're immediately like, you know, who are you? And she's like, are you listening to anything I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I thought you'd all be happy to see me.
Yeah.
Like, she thought she was going to get there and be remembered, and people would have wondered where she was and all sorts of stuff. And she gets there and realizes that she's been erased from their history.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know?
Although that is the one, since we're here, that is the one of the scenes I'm going to complain about. One of the very few complaints I have of Ragnarok. First of all, she shows up, she gets back to Asgard. So they fly through the Bifrost.
Yeah.
She knocks Thor and Loki out of the Bifrost. They disappear and she goes back to Asgard. She murders those two of the Warriors three
yeah.
right off the bat.
Just
And you don't feel it.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that at all. You know, we've seen them in both the other movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt in Iron Man 3 when they gave the robots their death scene.
Right.
I felt that more than I feel her murdering the two warriors, Volstagg and I don't know the other one's name.
Yeah.
the Punisher and Shazam.
The Punisher and Shazam. So she murders them right off the bat. And then the same thing, because then she goes up and obliterates the Asgardian army, right?
Yeah.
And the other warrior three. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it feels it doesn't feel.
Yeah.
Okay. She murders three characters that we know and an entire battalion or more of Asgardians, and you just don't feel it.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know exactly why not. The movie doesn't exactly treat it with much gravitas, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it is just kind of this throwaway scene where it's like, let's show how powerful she is.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, you could almost say, like, we know, you know, we got what we needed from her smashing Mjolnir. Like, that's it. You know, we don't need her to show up and murder all these people. You know what I mean? And it is almost so easy. The other thing, too, like, it's so easy, there's no stakes behind it. You know what I mean? She just murders them all. It's not like it's a fight. It's not like it's a struggle. So you don't feel like there's any point. It's just like, oh, well, I guess, oh, okay, everybody's dead. And that would be one complaint. One complaint I have about this movie is they do all that, and I don't feel any of it. It's just like, okay, let's get back to Thor's jokes.
Yeah.
I try to look at the alternatives they could have done there. And I mean, I agree with you, especially about the Warriors 3, because that just seemed sort of unceremonious.
Yep.
You get to the point where if they had given her a bunch of trouble, it also feels weird.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, she just wrecked Thor and Loki and destroyed the hammer. You know, like, why are these three pushing her so far? However, you can also just completely leave them out of it. And that seems kind of weird. And if you know you're not going anywhere with these characters anymore, I like the idea of giving them an end, except they should have given it some weight if they were going to.
They
sort of wasted that moment there. However, I don't know how an emotional death scene plays into the movie at this point of it, you know? Because that's going to kind of throw you off.
Well, we just had one. Too. You know what I mean? We just had one that, you know, Odin just died.
Yeah.
And then they just get up here and, you know, I don't know what they could have done. The two thoughts that I had that I felt like would have been better is like if they had, you know, created some kind of MacGuffin for her to be like, you know, I rule now because I have this thing. Oh, she's got this thing. She's obviously the rightful queen. And then maybe just let her kill the, you know, like if she just kills the Warriors 3, you know, instead of having that whole scene where she wrecks everybody.
Yeah.
Like if the Warriors 3 are just like, we're not going to let you rule. We know you're not the right one. We're not going to let you do it. And she's like, okay, stop me. And then murders them. You know what I mean? And it kind of adds just a little more weight. And then she's like, now that I've murdered them, I'm the queen.
Yep.
Same amount of time, same thing. And I don't know, you know. Yeah. I don't know that would have worked any better. That was just what came to my mind while I was like...
I think I liked the aspect of her not having anything. She just shows up and expects to be the queen, and nobody knows who she is.
Yeah.
I think that added some to that level there. The one thing, like, we don't see or hear anything of
Actual
Lady Sif.
That's what I was going to say. You know, where's Lady Sif in all this?
I don't know if they just kept her out of it to use her later. That's the thing. I don't like the idea of them just ignoring the Warriors 3 being there and leaving him out completely, because that seems a little off. Like, where would they be?
Right.
So I'm glad they included him.
Yeah.
Except that then they, I do feel like they sort of wasted that moment.
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
And that's my only thing. I have an idea. I don't necessarily know that it would have played better. The way they did it doesn't take away from the movie. you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, pros and cons to both. Just when I was watching it this time, and as I've said throughout this series, I'm trying to watch these with a bit more critical eye on some things.
Right.
And that was one thing that jumped out to me where I was like, that was kind of, I didn't feel any of that.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird.
Yeah, totally. I totally get that.
Now, that's where Scourge joins her ranks, though.
She I'm just a janitor.
Yeah, I'm just a janitor.
Well, I love that he's still there mopping up the dragon, you know? And I do love that Punisher and Shazam, the two Warriors, like they were there watching him. Like, you better mop. You missed a spot. Yeah. He's just there mopping it up, and they're just standing there. You know, or like, yeah. So I love that. I'm just a janitor.
But he joins her as the executioner, the new executioner. For Hela. So,
like, I think it's a little bit in, but she's giving him that speech where, you know, she's like, every great ruler has an executioner. And, you know, part of their job is to execute people, but also part of their job is to execute the vision. But mostly the people.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those great scenes where you can tell how much fun she's having. Because she is just, like, sprawled across that throne.
Yeah.
And, you know, just throwing that stuff out there. And she's just so, like... Mostly to execute people, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah, dude, that's great stuff.
All right, so Thor has crash-landed on a strange world at this point, out of the Bifrost. Very weird-looking, very colorful planet.
Yep.
Which, by the way, we talked about this a little bit in Doctor Strange, but like when we see them going through the cosmos and everything, this movie kind of continues the trend of like the bright neon colors and the galactic stuff, and I love it.
Yep.
It definitely feels like it bleeds right out of what we saw with Doctor
for
Strange.
Sure. And it's funny because you had mentioned during Doctor Strange those colors and how much they meant to like the astral planes and all the cosmic Marvel stuff, and I had never looked at it through that lens, and so having talked about that in that previous episode and then watching this movie, I caught all of that. It's not like I didn't realize it was colorful before.
I just
never put it on that plane.
It just really feels like they're going for it, right? Yeah. Like they're looking at those classic comics and they're like, let's put this on the screen. Let's do it.
Hypercolor Thor is the best
thing. I love it. Yeah.
So Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
They even bring that up in this, you know, Jack Kirby could have been like the costume designer in this one too.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. For sure. Absolutely. Like, yeah, it's fantastic. I love it. The visuals are just some of my favorite parts about this movie. The visuals with that music that we already talked about, it just all syncs together so well and creates something so unique that we haven't really seen, especially with the other Thor movies. Yeah. It's a great departure.
Creates something so unique, but something that feels so familiar too. It's got that great middle ground. Because it's just so, and especially for us, because it's so, you know, 80s cyberpunk.
It really is.
You know
what
I mean? Like, so for our generation, it really is like,
totally.
Yeah,
totally.
Where's this been?
Yeah. So he's crashed in like this pile of garbage, and there's all these scrappers basically down there, right? And they kind of surround him right off the bat, and I love it because they say, are you a warrior or are you food?
Yeah.
And he tries to call for Mjolnir and realizes, oh yeah, that's gone.
Yep.
I don't have Mjolnir anymore.
Well, I was laughing real hard because he punches a couple guys.
Yeah.
Because they decide he's food.
Yeah.
It is food.
Oh, he's food.
Yep. Yeah. So he punches a couple guys and then they catch him with that net and they all kind of dogpile on him.
Yeah.
So what if Valkyrie hadn't shown up here and like this, they just
That's
ate Thor?
Just the end of Thor?
Yeah.
Thor just gets eaten.
And then one day, Thor never should return.
I was just laughing because I flashed forward to when he's first talking to Hulk, you know. He's like, so much has happened. I lost my hammer. That was just like yesterday, so that's pretty fresh.
That's awesome. Oh, man. Valkyrie's arrival is fantastic, though, because she lands and she comes stumbling off her ship with that bottle. She throws that bottle, tries to come walking down, falls off the side of the little bridge there.
Right,
it's amazing.
Because she's drunk.
She's just hammered
drunk. She's had too much apple juice.
So amazing. But ultimately, she ends up capturing Thor for herself and taking him to meet the Grandmaster.
Right. Which, let's just go ahead and segue here, because how awesome is Tessa Thompson, man?
She's great.
She is great in this. She's great in everything.
I'm
she's,
so excited to see more of her character.
She's the girlfriend in Creed, the Creeds.
Oh, yeah.
She's amazing in those.
And I still haven't seen 2.
You got to see 2.
I'm a bad person.
So good. She's also about to be in Men in Black International.
Yeah.
She's
the other
one in Men in Black International. Yeah. So she and she's.
Which I'm not sure if I'll see. Still heartbroken.
What?
Okay. Let's just not. We know, John. We know. But yeah, she is so great in this, and almost she's. I like, because she almost plays the straight man.
Yeah.
To everything.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, we kind of talked about she does it. She doesn't become like, you know, the nagging shrew mother figure.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, it's so easy for, you know, a lot of movies to when they're like, oh, we've got this hyper competent female that's going to be annoyed with all the guys.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't do that. You know, she's like, she's the straight person. You know, she's almost like this one, the only person in the movie that's taken any of this seriously. But she's not real naggy. She's just kind of fed up with all of it anyway. That's like her character. Well, so,
I mean, she's also one of the toughest of the characters.
Yeah.
And they make no bones about that at any point.
Yep.
Well, and then we learn why later on.
Yeah. Right.
She's Asgardian, and she's one of the Valkyries, which was like one of the strongest military groups on the planet, right?
Yeah.
Like, she was kind of like the special forces, basically, that would get called in. So,
well, and I like how they don't, like, you would almost expect, you know, just 5 years ago, if they were going to have this character in there, there'd be at least that one scene where they were like, oh, you're really strong for a girl, or something along those lines, and they never really do that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, well, there is the scene where Thor is like, you know, I've always said there should be a team of, you know, a team of women, and yes, I wanted to be a Valkyrie until I found out they were all women.
Which
good for you.
Yeah.
And, like, so it's totally, but like, you're exactly right, because it's totally a nod to that kind of scene,
exactly.
But just like, look how ridiculous is it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the right kind of nod,
right?
Because it's never like a disrespectful thing at any point. Like, even before he finds out she's a Valkyrie, like, there's not the point where he's like, well, you're just a girl. That never happens.
Right.
And then pretty quickly he finds out she is a Valkyrie, and then it's like, the, you know, the respect is cemented there.
Yeah.
And then, again, they do that, which is like, but yeah, it's just Thor playing woke, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right.
So the Grandmaster.
Yeah.
We get to meet the Grandmaster.
Yep.
First of all, we see his tower as they're coming into it, and it's got all the statues on it. There's some great references there.
Yeah, the Beta Ray Bill.
Because Hulk's at the top, but yeah, we got Beta Ray Bill and Bybeast are both definitely on there. I don't know who the other two are, but I pointed those two out pretty much right away, because those are other characters from the Thor and Hulk mythos, which is pretty cool to see. So they've apparently all been champions of the Grandmasters.
And murdered, right?
I don't know. I want to see more Beta Ray Bill, but maybe not.
I just assume Hulk murdered
the other four. Yeah, Hulk murdered one, right?
There was a time where I'd been like, man, weird horse-faced alien, that can't play, but
that's over, man.
That's obviously not a thing anymore.
Yeah, no, that's over. Everything plays.
Rocket Raccoon and Groot
play
really well. So.
Everything plays.
Yeah, everything plays.
Yep.
Let's not forget, too, when they go through, like, but right before we meet the Grandmaster is, like, Thor wakes up and he's in that chair.
That chair.
You know, and they're like, you're on your way to meet the Grandmaster. And he starts going through that tunnel in the Willy Wonka song.
Yeah.
I lost my mind. And then they do that bit where it's like, he's counting down, like, 3, 2, 1. And he's just going, ah! And he's just there.
Man, and Jeff Goldblum, just Jeff Goldbluming all over this movie is the best thing.
Yeah. Do you think they asked him, like, hey, can you turn the Goldblum up a little bit?
Yeah.
Like, we like what you do, and we just want you to do that
a lot. Yeah. He's amazing.
They do a great thing.
Just play Ian Malcolm on all the Adderall.
Oh my gosh. Like, I love it when he's like, when they're talking about, because Thor's talking about needing to get back home, and he says, like, ass place, Asburg, wherever it is you're from.
Asgard. Asgard.
Yeah. He doesn't even make a joke. That's my favorite part. Because he's already, by that point, he's already, like, DJing.
Yeah.
You know, because he's trying to introduce himself. And he's like, I have to get back to Asgard. And he's like, Asgard? And then he just goes back, you know, like, he doesn't even make a joke, or says the one thing. But before that, I have to comment. It made me think of, which I just love, when he first meets him, and they're doing the thing. Well, ugh, gosh, that whole scene, man. They do the thing.
It's nonstop.
Yeah, because they do the thing with Topaz, where he's like, I always say she's the, and it starts with a B, and Topaz is like, trash. And he's like, no. Were you just waiting to call her that? It doesn't start with a B. The best. I always say you're the best.
Booze hag.
Yeah, booze. But so after they have that whole exchange, he does this thing where he's like, I have to see this, you know, I have to see this closer. Move me up. And Topaz pushes him forward. And it struck me, man. I thought it was so funny. But there's this scene in It's a Wonderful Life where Mr. Potter, who's the villain in that movie, he's in a wheelchair, right? He's in a wheelchair, and he's got this manservant constantly with him, and he's in yelling at George Bailey's dad. And at one point, you know, he's getting all worked up, and he's like, he turns around, and he goes, shove me up. So the guy pushes him forward, so just so he can get more in the face. And it's just like, man, you know, it's such a great, it took me back, like, that's such a great villainous thing.
Yeah.
You know, like shove me up so I can get in his, you know what I mean? Yeah. Shove me up. And he pushes him forward 2 inches so he can lean a little closer and point in the dude's face.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me of that, because he's like, move me up. And she has to push him forward so he can get a better look at Thor. Like,
you get the added aspect in this case because he can walk. He's just fine. He just happens to be sitting.
Yeah. So I'm sure that was not an intentional reference, but it just made me think of that. And I was just like, that's amazing.
Well, and that whole,
anytime,
like,
you make me think of It's a Wonderful Life, you've done well, movie.
That whole scene, like, even Thor trying to play off of it, because he's just sitting there quipping back at him, you know, like talking crap to him. But at one point, he got a thundery scream that he, like, bursts up from those things or whatever, and then, like, they just bring him back down. And then Jeff Goldblum's just like,
Was that sparkles?
Yeah.
I didn't hear any thunder, but
when he keeps calling him Lord of Thunder, and he's like, it's God of Thunder. Lord of Thunder.
Yeah.
He does the melty stick thing to the other guy.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He goes, I pardon you from life.
Yeah.
Melts that guy.
And I love when that comes back later, because it's later when he's confronting Valkyrie and Loki about finding Thor, and
Topaz hands him the
Mouth. Loki interrupts.
Don't interrupt me.
And Topaz is like, why are you handing me the death stick? You interrupted me. It's not a capital offense.
Oh my God.
Or he calls it the melty stick.
The melty stick, yeah. Goldblum's the best, dude. Oh my God.
So we find Loki there.
Loki's there too.
And they have that.
He's like, you know this guy? I've never seen him before in my life. He's my brother.
Yeah.
Adopted.
Yeah. But then Thor goes down, and we get to meet Korg, who's amazing.
Oh my God!
Like how they set up there too that Loki's never seen the champion, but he hears he's really rough,
astonishingly savage.
Yeah,
which are both Hulk.
Yeah.
Acronyms.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Korg is amazing.
Yeah.
Man, dude, Korg and Meek.
Meek.
This is Meek. Yep. Meek's like a little bug, but he's in like that little scissor suit, right? Yeah.
And Doug.
And Doug.
Yeah.
Oh, Doug's dead.
What was that joke? What a weird joke for that alien to make. He's like, I'm made of rocks, but don't let that intimidate you.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you're made of scissors.
And then Meek did the, like, scissor pose thing after.
And then he explains the joke.
Yeah.
A little bit of rock, paper, scissors humor.
See a new Doug? He says to Thor. Thor's like...
I love how Thor goes to run away and then just shows up behind him.
Yeah.
Sort of a freaky circle.
It's like a freaky circle.
Yep.
Not a real circle. More like a freaky circle.
Well, and then when Loki comes to visit him, but he's not really...
Yeah.
He's not really there. And then when he leaves and Korg's run up and kicks the wall where he was, he's like, piss off, ghost!
Yeah.
He's freaking gone.
Korg's my favorite. He's my favorite character to ever be introduced in the MCU. He's amazing.
I believe that he's voiced by
Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
Man, I cannot say that.
Man, voice and acted. Like if you watch the special features.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he does all the scenes. He's got like this big pole that sticks off his back with Korg's face. Yeah, he does.
Oh, that's awesome. He
full on did it. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's good amazing. Stuff. So this is Thor's got to be he's a warrior. He's going to do the arena battle. We get the great Stan Lee cameo here where Stan Lee's going to cut his hair.
Yeah.
Please sir, don't cut my hair.
Like he threatens him.
Yeah.
And then immediately he's like, "Please sir, don't cut my hair." So
I was thinking at this point, and this is just a little aside thought I had. Man, wouldn't it have been great? I love what they did. I don't want to change what they did. Would it have been great, though, if they had just had Jeff Goldblum play, like, a full-on Vince McMahon for this, since he's, like, the fight promoter?
Yeah.
You know? Like, wouldn't it have been great just to see Jeff Goldblum as Vince McMahon for this movie?
Oh, my God.
Listen, pal.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Goldblum and a McMahon together? Wow. Yeah. That's insane.
Pronouns, pal.
Pronouns, pal.
The pronouns, pal.
So this the fight scene was a great trailer scene that we got to see before the movie came out, because they do the big build up where they announce the champion that's going to fight the Lord of Thunder.
I do like how the movie, you know, this would have been one of the greatest shock cameos, but like introductions.
They could have kept
a
secret
if they could. Now they like it's not even necessarily that they couldn't keep it secret; it's that. I mean, that's part of the marketing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Something like they
you almost couldn't keep
exactly.
it secret.
Like, you have to advertise that if the Hulk's in your movie this much, because that's going to sell plenty of tickets. But I love how the movie plays it like it's a surprise.
Yep.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Like, even with, like, we just talked about a few minutes ago when Loki brings up the champion and, you know, they go out of the way to make sure that you know he's never seen him.
Yeah.
Which does mean, because if you were to look back and go, oh, I didn't Loki tell him.
Right,
you know, they tell you why, and they go ahead, and even up to the big reveal, everyone in the theater knew exactly what was going to happen, but they still stretched it out, and they gave it the music, they did all that stuff. I love it, because on every secondary viewing or subsequent viewing or whatever, like, once you've seen it once, you already know anyway, so it's like watching it the first time just felt like watching it the second time.
Yeah.
But you still appreciated the journey they were taking you on there.
It still makes it so much more satisfying.
Yeah absolutely, man. I love too how the Grandmaster announces him as the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah,
that's great. Man, that scene's so great though, because Hulk comes bursting through there roaring, and then Thor gets so happy.
Yeah.
Yes. I know him.
He's a friend
from work. And then they show Loki's face, and Loki is terrified.
I gotta get off this planet.
It's amazing. Oh, man. And then just the whole fight scene's great, too, because Thor, like, starts just trying to reason with him at first. Like, talk. Like,
well,
he's like
just,
asking
he's,
him.
He's like, okay, cool, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, where have you been? Or where have you been? He's like saying things like that, and Hulk's just Hulk, so Hulk's just trying to fight him.
I love how he's calling him Banner. You know?
Yeah. That's good stuff.
I love how throughout the movie he plays those two against each other, too.
Yeah.
I prefer that, you.
Yeah. Oh, man,
I don't even like Banner. He's all into numbers and weird stuff.
Then he says the same thing about Hulk later. Hulk's all like, oh, I'm going to smash.
All right, so we get the Thor Hulk fight scene.
Very satisfying.
Very satisfying.
Sun's getting pretty low, big guy. Yeah. Does that whole scene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smashes him around.
Loki. Yes.
That's how it feels.
That's how it feels.
I'm just a very big fan of the sport.
Yeah. That's so good.
Got any good kid reactions?
Oh, man, this is the scene.
Yeah,
this is the scene that Spencer loves in this movie. He's so into it. He gets so excited. Like, every time it's about to happen, he's telling me like I've never seen it before. Daddy, watch, Hulk's gonna be wearing armor. He's gonna be wearing armor, and then they're gonna fight. Like, it's literally every time, but he loves it. Like, this is the reason that he watches this movie, is for this fight scene. He thinks it's the best.
Even though Hulk loses,
he gets kind of upset about that. He's always like, "But Hulk can't lose. Hulk's the strongest."
Yeah.
and I always have to be like, "But Thor's got all those cool lightning powers. Like, he got him. He snuck attack him."
Snuck attack.
But that's important to talk about, right? Because this is where we see Thor kind of tap into that ability for the first time. Because
there was we even get those shots of Odin.
Get those shots of Odin because Odin kind of told him, like, we got that. Was that earlier that he kind of said it? That's later, right? Because he gets the flashback. But like, all this time Thor's been operating under the idea that Mjolnir is like the source of his powers, the lightning and all that stuff. And turns out he's been able to do that the whole time. So he's kind of starting to tap into it here. Because at that last ditch effort, like Hulk is just pounding him into the ground, just pounding him. And then all of a sudden we get that big lightning burst that knocks Hulk out.
Yep.
And Thor's about to get the blow, the death blow, right? Or the finish. Man. And then that's when, wouldn't kill him, but he's going to win the fight. Yeah, yep. And then that's when Grandmaster,
and the cutoff.
Yeah, Grandmaster stands up and zaps him and Hulk wins because of Grandmaster's interference. So.
Which, watching Jeff Goldblum through this fight is a fun way to watch it, too. Cause... Whenever they pan up to him, like, he just looked, like, especially that first time that Thor just blasts Hulk up into that wall, and they pan up to Goldblum, and Goldblum's just like,
"What?"
He's probably just used to Hulk just ripping dudes in half away, right?
Exactly.
and here's Thor just like going toe to toe with him, like they've done multiple times. Yeah. These two have fought each other a few times already that we've seen. So it's all and I love too how the crowd changes. Like halfway through that fight, they start chanting "Lord of Thunder."
Yeah.
You know, like they're on his side. It's awesome. It's so cool. Thor wakes up in Hulk's room.
Yeah.
Which I was kind of questioning why that happened, when I was watching it this time. They don't really explain why Thor's not just, like, back down in the pit or whatever with Korg and all them.
Right.
Like, why did he get to be taken up to Hulk's quarters? Do you think Hulk brought him up there or had him brought up there?
I was going to say, as good of a show as he put on, it makes sense to me that he would get his own room at least, but why it would be Hulk's room, that part I have no idea.
Well, I just kind of assume that, because he jumps up and he comes down with that big sky-high smash, right? We don't really see what happens, but I just assume the Hulk comes down, smashes him, and then picks him up and walks away, and like, who's gonna stop Hulk and take him away?
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, that could be. That could be.
Absolutely.
Like, that's all the explanation I really need, I guess.
Yeah. it's a theory.
Yeah.
Here's an idea.
I love this scene too because I feel like this is the most talking we've ever gotten from Hulk too, right? Like
by far.
Like the interactions he's having, and is he voiced by Lou Ferrigno in all this? Because he certainly sounds like Lou Ferrigno. I should have looked that up.
Because
I noticed that while I was listening to it, I was like, that sounds like Lou Ferrigno talking, and that would be awesome. Because I know
I would have assumed just augmented Ruffalo.
It could be.
Yeah.
We should check that. But I love the interactions with all of this here too. This is where we kind of talked about too, where Thor's kind of playing.
He gets out of that hot tub.
Oh yeah, and Thor's like,
so naked.
So naked. Yep.
Burned it in my brain.
but he's trying to like reason with Hulk at this point. He asks Hulk how he got here, and Hulk's like, Quinjet, and he like points outside and shows him the Quinjet, and Thor's like, oh, awesome.
He's
okay,
like, how long have you been this way? Hulk always Hulk.
Yeah, Hulk always Hulk. I love it. Yeah, it's good stuff. So basically Thor's like, all right, well, there's the Quinjet, we gotta go. I gotta get back to Asgard and this and that. And Hulk's like, no, Hulk stay. Hulk likes it there. But because he convinces him, like, oh, he has him call for Valkyrie, right? And Valkyrie comes to the room. And this is where he pleads his case again with Valkyrie.
Yeah.
Where he's basically like, look, because she's like, you've got until I finish this drink to tell me what's going on. And then she chugs it the same way Thor always chugs drinks, which is amazing. She drinks an entire bottle that's sitting there.
Well, I love that he just totally gives up. Like, he doesn't try to talk fast or try to, she starts chugging and he's just like, well, see, Asgard has always been, wow. She's like, done, and starts to walk off. It says that was Mark Ruffalo.
Okay.
It actually says what I found said that up until this point, they had used Lou Ferrigno.
I do remember them using Ferrigno. We've talked about that in some of the past episodes.
Yep.
So I guess they just used it really did sound like, I thought it sounded a lot like Ferrigno, but I guess it's just because of the voice modulation and everything. But it was really cool getting to see Hulk talk more like that instead of just smashing Hulk smash and grunts and stuff. I like that quite a bit.
And I like the characterization of Hulk.
Yeah, me too.
You know, because he is such an angry child.
Yeah, totally.
And he, you know, like Thor is his friend, so they get those back and forth moments. Right. But he's just a
well. He even like apologizes to Thor.
Like fire, Thor like water.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm kind of like fire too. Yeah. I was thinking I was like fire too. Yeah,
like raging fire. Thor like smoldering.
Well, because we kind of get that scene where Hulk almost like apologizes to him because he's like, Hulk just always so mad.
Well, he throws that shield at him and like embeds in the wall and he's like, what are you doing? Yeah. You crazy?
Yeah. And they argue over the fight.
Right.
I won that fight.
Baby arms.
Baby arms. Yeah, he calls them baby arms. It's so good, man. That's great stuff. But how does he convince them to actually get out of there? Because he
pickpockets the little device from her.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Because he's like, because finally, he's, you know, she's like, I don't care about your stuff. I'm not going back. He's like, okay, fine. She's like, fine. Thank you, by the way. She's like, for what? He's like, for this.
Yeah.
And that's the one time he gets to be smug and it actually, he's like, didn't see that, did you?
Yeah.
And he clears the little thing. Falls on. Yeah.
Didn't see that, did you?
Well, right there, he takes that giant like heavy ball. And he's just bouncing it around, and he's going through his big spiel. He's like, you know, you stay here and hide if you want, but I'm going to go out there and save everybody, because that's what heroes... And he whips that thing against the window, and it bounces back and just
hits
knocks
him
in
the face.
Down. And then my favorite part, I always expect that. I know that's coming, and I laugh every time. I always forget that, like, he gets up, and he's, like, arm pumping. You know, like, he's like, yep, that's what heroes do, and then just go smashing through the window anyway.
Oh, man. So he gets to the Quinjet out there.
Which is one of my favorite parts.
Which is great. Yeah, because as soon as he gets inside and he's trying to activate it, that's great. Because like it's like the voice activation thing.
Yeah.
And it's like asks him to state his name and Thor is incorrect. So he says like strongest Avenger.
Yeah. He says that. He says that one twice. Yeah. He says Thor, he says son of Odin, and he's like strongest Avenger. And it doesn't
strongest
get strongest
Avenger.
Avenger. Yeah.
And then he goes, Stark. Yeah. Point Break. Yeah. And then it accepts. But right as he turns it on, Hulk comes busting in, tearing the
Hulk,
ship apart.
Hulk decides he doesn't want his friend to leave.
Yeah.
Right. So he just comes in tearing stuff up. And then that part, like, the ship responds to Hulk. You know, the ship's like, welcome, strongest Avenger. Thor's just like,
well,
oh.
That doesn't happen until he becomes Banner, though.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the recording of Black Widow plays.
As he's breaking the ship, that's when the Black Widow recording pops up.
Yeah.
And he sees it, and he gets all emotional, and that's when he turns back into Banner.
Yeah.
I like how he's trying to stop himself, because he's like, Banner, no! And he's like punching himself in the face, and he's trying to stay Hulk, and he can't stop it, and he turns back. And this is kind of a great scene, too, because this is where you realize that Banner has been stuck as Hulk for 2 years. Which is totally...
He's asking about Sokovia
and the city and everything. And Thor's like, that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've been like this for 2 years? Yeah, that's pretty crazy stuff right there.
I will say this is where... You haven't ruined the movie for me, Jaren, by any means. But when we were discussing The Incredible Hulk... the movie itself in an earlier episode of Marvel Goodyear, you made some sort of reference to, you know, can you imagine, you know, the Avengers?
Yeah.
Can you imagine Thor Ragnarok with Edward Norton in it? And I couldn't do anything but this time through. And I love Mark Ruffalo, but it made me sad.
Yeah, a little bit, man.
Oh, man.
I get it.
Because how great could, you know, it was great. It was great anyway. Ruffalo's great.
Yeah.
Just,
because we've seen, so Ruffalo's amazing doing the whole... I'm on an alien planet thing, losing it, you know, barely
he's
able
totally
to keep things together.
I'm on a planet designed to stress me out.
Well, he's worried that if he becomes Hulk again, he may not be able to turn back to Banner because he was stuck for so long.
Yeah.
So.
And he's got Tony Stark stuff on.
Thor's
putting
he just has that blue shawl over his head. That's his disguise.
And he's like, well, I need a disguise too. And he puts on those glasses. He's like, I'll be Tony Stark. He's like Tony and the Gypsy.
Tony and the Gypsy.
He's like, well, why would you be Tony or something like that? He's like, why'd you dress me like Tony? And Thor goes, because you were naked.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'll give you that.
Well, I love he's so just like I love the part where he's like. He's like, I don't want to fight your sister, man. That's just wrong on so many levels.
That's family.
I'm not fighting,
I don't
any,
get in
I'm
the
not fighting
of that.
Any more beans. I'm done with it. Like, it's just so like.
Yeah.
I'm done with it. Okay. All right. And then he gets
on so many levels.
Yeah, and then he gets lost immediately in the crowd like a little kid.
Yeah,
like Thor yeah. turns around, you know, sees people down the and turns about and Banner's just gone. I'm like, what is going
well,
on?
Well, like the best part about it because he's like, I'll make sure you never have to think of Hulk again. And then they immediately walk into a Hulk parade.
Yeah, like people have like Hulk masks and yeah. stuff, like yeah. they're marching along. But this is where they run back into Valkyrie, right?
Yep.
And she's going to join the cause at this point.
Right. Well, because they had that. That's when they had that moment where you get the backstory on Valkyrie shortly before this. Because
yeah.
that's when we talked about a little bit earlier when the Grandmaster's confronting
yes,
Loki
yes,
and
yes.
Valkyrie and telling them they need to go find Thor and his champion and everything. And then Valkyrie and Loki get into a fight.
Yeah.
And that's when Loki realizes she's a Valkyrie and basically kind of, you know, mind tricks her into having those visions of them fighting
right.
Hela and all getting destroyed.
Yeah.
And then that brings her back around and just makes her mad, so she takes out Loki.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
this is what, putting the team together. What's the team called? The Revengers?
The Revengers. We're getting revenge.
I'm getting revenge, and you're getting revenge, and, you know, Banner, you...
I'm
undecided.
Banner, do you want to get some revenge?
I'm undecided.
Well, that's when they open the door and Loki's there chained up.
Yeah.
Then Thor throws that can at him.
Yeah, to make sure he's real.
And as much as I just complained about, you know, having Ruffalo instead of Norton, that moment where he says something like, last time I saw you, you were trying to kill us. You know, where are you at now? And Loki's just like, depends on the moment.
Yeah.
And the reaction that Ruffalo gives, like, ugh.
Are you sure I was just talking to him and he said that he was probably going to kill us?
Yeah.
Right.
He says that to them.
Thor tells that story. He's like, one time he turned into a snake because he knows I love snakes, and I went to pick up the snake and it turned back into Loki, and he goes, ah, it's me. And then he stabbed me.
We were eight.
We were eight.
Yeah.
Is nonstop.
Yeah.
It's
so this
amazing.
So this is also that. This is also that moment, that great moment for Valkyrie because Loki's like, why don't you guys just unleash the beast? And she's like, you guys have a beast?
Yeah.
She's so excited. You know, she's like, oh.
Well, I love how her and Banner just keep going. Do I know you? I feel like I know you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I know you too. And like they just keep doing that.
Right. Loki offers to help him steal a ship.
To fly through the devil's anus.
Thor didn't know it was called that when he picked it.
Yeah.
There's an anus?
Oh my god. Well, this is the best, dude. Because this is where Thor and Loki are going to get that ship.
Right.
And they're on that elevator and Thor's like, let's do get help. And Loki's like, no, I'm not doing get help. And he's like, come on, let's do get help. It works every time. And he's like, it's humiliating. Not for me. And then the elevator opens and like Loki's acting like he's hurt. And Thor's going, somebody get help. And they walk up to those dudes and he just throws Loki at those dudes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And like Thor's like cracking up and Loki's like picking himself up and dusting himself. It's amazing. Oh my god.
Yep. So I like to point out right before the elevator scene, we kind of see them working together, which is kind of fun, and they work together really well. You know, they come in and start mowing dudes down with those laser guns or whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of fun to see them working together.
Yeah.
Well, just through the dialogue, you get this feeling like they're talking about it like it's one last ride. You
right.
know, and you kind of get on that train right away.
Yep. And then the conversation in the elevator happens. And then we get out of the elevator. They take those dudes down. And right away, Loki goes to betray him.
Tries to betray him again.
Yep. And that's where we get the reveal that he had stuck the little thing on his back. And zaps Loki. And, you know, like, that's a great, you know, a great kind of close to their relationship, I feel like. Because we get to see him kind of, you know, like you said, kind of one last ride. And you almost get that feeling of like, oh, before they were trying to kill each other, these guys were brothers that fought together.
Yeah.
That's nice to remember.
Well, and it's a good Thor moment, too, because Thor really gets the upper hand. But, like, he gave Loki the chance to do it right.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, Loki could have gone and done what he was supposed to do, and nothing ever would have happened, and that's fine. But Thor was ready for him for once. You know?
Yep. Well, and remember in Avengers, he asked him, you know, when he trapped him in the Hulk cage or whatever, he asked him, he's like, are you ever not going to fall for that?
Yeah.
And he didn't fall for it.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
And here it is.
Yeah.
You know?
That's awesome.
Yep.
And so, then he just leaves him there with
He leaves him there with yeah. 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 I'll just leave this over there.
For yeah. you guys, for you. I'll just leave this over here for you.
Yeah.
He looks over. I love that they've got, like, when Loki's laying there, like, getting electrocuted, they've got his hair all sprawled out. You know what I mean? Like,
this is about the time that Valkyrie shows up and frees Korg also.
Yep.
And arms him for his revolution.
For his revolution.
Yeah.
The revolution has begun.
Yeah.
Lord of Thunder sends his regards.
Yeah, she comes in, she goes, I'm looking for Korg. And he goes, who's asking? I mean, I know you're asking, but is anybody else asking? Or just you?
This is just you.
She just gives him that gun.
Korg's awesome. Oh, man. So Thor, they steal the Grandmaster ship.
Yep.
Is the ship that they steal.
Yeah.
Doesn't have any weapons because
when when he's looking for that gun, this looks like a gun. It's my birthday.
It's my birthday.
Yeah.
It's like shoot up the fireworks.
Fireworks.
Well, because they're like, it doesn't have any guns. He uses it for a sexy times.
Yeah.
He's like, don't touch anything.
Yeah. Well, and then he puts Banner in the seat.
Yeah.
He's like, here, you fly this. He's like, I don't know how to fly this. He's like, use one of your PhDs.
Yeah, use one of your PhDs. None of them are for flying. Oh my god, dude! This movie is nonstop,
yeah,
dude. It's just nonstop.
So what about what a crazy scene it is? Because you know we're in the scene where we should have like a spaceship space race dogfight, right?
Yeah.
But instead, Thor and Valkyrie just jump out and they're just jumping from ship to ship, ripping pieces of it off.
Yeah, yep. Man. Yeah. Doing that Asgardian thing.
Right.
Being way stronger than everybody else.
Yep, which is cool. But it gets to one part that I think is just really... A really great little piece in all of this. You know, that kind of stands out and probably flies under the radar. Probably most people haven't noticed it before. After they do that, they rip all the stuff off and then Thor and Valkyrie end up on the same ship. And she, you know, Thor rips the guy out and throws it, and she grabs the controllers and starts flying back up towards the thing.
Yeah.
She gives him this look, man, that is just this smile, and just like in that moment you see like she's been missing this piece, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean, it's like,
yeah,
it's like back to, you know, back to, oh yeah, this is who I'm supposed to, yeah, be,
right?
And
right,
you know, they don't dwell on it, they don't do much out of it, you know, nothing comes of it, but it's just an amazing little, yep, piece, you know. I mean, you know, who knows what that smile was written as,
right?
You know,
right,
what I mean. You know, probably just Valkyrie looks at Thor, you know,
yeah,
but Tessa Thompson makes it something special, you,
yeah,
know, and it becomes,
yeah,
this moment that it's just like, oh, there she is, you know,
yep,
that's who she's supposed to have been all,
yep,
this time.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that's
so
good stuff.
Yeah. I like when she's on that ship and that looks like it's exploding. And there's that moment where they're like, oh no, and then you just see her flying through the air and just catches their ship,
yeah,
and they're all like, ah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, get in, and she's like, just a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my birthday.
Yeah, but
that'll be in your head for a week.
I know, man. Every time I watch it, it cracks me up.
So she flies through so they all get on the ship and they fly back through the anus and get back to Asgard.
Yep. Just in time.
For the final battle.
Hela has located all of the Asgardians, which were in hiding with
Heimdall.
Heimdall. And she has just located them. So as she's approaching that, that's when Thor's basically like, look, I'll distract her. You,
yeah,
guys make sure everybody's safe and get them to this ship. or get them to the Rainbow Bridge. The
right.
Bifrost was,
yep,
the original plan. So he goes to the throne and he starts banging the staff.
Yeah.
And she immediately is just like, WTF.
Right.
Yeah.
And goes straight to the throne room. And we get the awesome,
yep,
Thor Hela showdown.
Yep. Well, let's just take a second before we get to all that.
Yeah.
Heimdall.
Yeah.
Idris Elba. How amazing is he?
He's so great,
always,
man.
You know,
he's
this
always
is,
great.
Yeah, and this is one of those things where you kind of appreciate, where I kind of appreciate a little more, because like you almost feel like I watch all the Thor movies and he's a bit part. And I'm,
yeah,
like, why would you put Idris Elba in basically what's an elevated extra?
Right.
But he brings something extra that Heimdall needs.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
And like, we don't need a lot more Heimdall, but we,
yeah,
need Heimdall to feel like a lot more.
Right.
So,
exactly,
you know, if they just put Hannibal Burress,
he's important,
as Heimdall,
his,
you know what I mean?
His has always transcended screen time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So,
But
yeah, so now we get the confrontation.
We get the confrontation, yeah.
I'd also buy Hannibal Burris Heimdall. Yeah. Be a different Heimdall.
Be a different Heimdall.
Yeah. Feel like he might fit in this movie fine.
Maybe so. So we forgot to mention that Korg and his revolution located Loki.
Oh, yep.
And Loki was like, you guys look like you're in need of a leader. And yeah. Korg goes, why, thank you. We're going to go steal that big ship over there. Do you want to come with us?
Right.
So Loki and Korg and the Revolution are on this giant transport.
Yeah.
And they end up showing up here at Asgard too in the middle of the fight, which is awesome.
So they must have gone through the devil's anus in that big ship. Like, was that the plan?
Yeah, they must have. They must have.
Yeah. Or maybe maybe Loki knew some of those like back channel Bifrost bridges like we saw in Dark World.
Oh, that could be too.
So maybe something like that.
Yeah. I love when he shows up, though, because he's like, your savior has arrived! Right, right. Just, like, doing the Loki thing. He's got the helmet on with the horns and everything, so everybody can start running into the ship at this point because the Bifrost has been cut off.
Yeah.
And, like, all the dead soldiers are on there.
I think this is after the Hulk reveal.
Yep, so we've had
Hulk reveal, so
because
great.
They do that bit where, you know, they don't... That giant dog is about to just murder a ton of Asgardians, and Ben Banner's like, you know, he gives her that little speech because didn't he say something about knowing her or whatever?
You want to know who I really am?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna show you. Don't worry, everything's gonna be all right.
Yeah, I'm gonna show you.
He just dives off the ship.
Yeah, smashes into the Rainbow Bridge
in front of the dog.
Just looks dead. Just totally like his arms all bent and his. Oh my god, dude!
And again, this may be one of those instances of me reading too far into it, but especially knowing where we go with the relationship between Banner and Hulk over the next like movie or so, I really feel like that was Hulk. I feel like that's a conscious decision.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm gonna hold off for a minute. Yeah. Bam! All right, now I'll come out.
Well, I love how the dog stops and looks confused and like sniffs him a bit, and then just looks back up like, all right, whatever, and starts to go after everybody again. And then that's when the dog gets stopped because Hulk's behind him and grabs his tail, and then we get the big Hulk versus dog fight. Yep. And Loki shows up to save everybody and get him onto the ship, and Thor's fighting Hela.
I will say, arguably, the best Hulk versus dog fight.
I mean, it's definitely better than the other Hulk versus dog fight. Hulk dogs.
That one was a Hulk poodle, man.
Man, dude. That
scene, that movie is so bad.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
Thanks for reminding me of that in the middle of my Ragnarok.
Yeah, I know, right?
Hey, that's what you get for ruining all the Ruffalo scenes.
Fair. That's fair.
So
the tide turns.
Yeah.
Looks like we're going to lose. Hela's got Thor on the ropes. She's pinned him.
Rips
his eye out. Yeah.
Stabs him a couple times. Pins him down. I'm not a queen and I'm not a monster. I'm the goddess of death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What were you the god of again?
Yeah.
And that's where we get the Odin.
We get the Odin stuff again. Yep. And that's where we get the scene where he basically says, look, the hammer's not the source of your power. The power's always been inside of you. And the same thing happens basically that happens in this Hulk fight, but like tenfold.
Yeah.
So like, you know, all of a sudden it goes back to him and Hela, and all the lightning starts shooting out of his hands, and then boom, straight up God of Thunder Thor rises up and just obliterates everything. It's awesome.
Yep.
It's so cool. It's a great moment. That song hits again. The Led Zeppelin song rips out. Thor comes like crashing down. Like, I love it because you got the pile of like undead warriors like piling on top of each other to get to Thor, and he's like flying down in slow motion with all the lightning to just smash all of them. Yeah, oh my god.
It's a heavy metal cover.
Oh, it's so great. Then you get like Valkyrie walking off the ship in slow motion while it's doing my birthday.
Yeah, the fireworks.
Like the fireworks are going off, and like Hulk's fighting the dog, and oh my god, it's such an amazing scene.
Straight up suplexes that dog.
Dude, he suplexes the dog. I know. It's so great.
and then they fall off the waterfalls at the edge of the world.
Yeah.
Hey, flat Asgard.
Yeah. Oh no.
Asgard. Oh, you're one of those people.
Ass place. Asberg.
We need to form a flat Asgarder society.
Oh, yes. No.
Actually, we'd have to form a round Asgarder
society. Because
that would be contrary to what it actually is. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
All right. So
This is where they
get everybody.
So,
they wipe out the undead guys and get everybody flying away.
Yeah.
Well, they start to, and then Hela.
Yep. Shows up.
And don't forget that Scourge face turned too. Right? Was that at
not
this
yet?
Point?
This
not,
is
yet.
Right.
Not yet.
Right now he's just
Scourge,
hiding.
Well, yeah. Scourge
he's hiding.
Decided
yeah,
to hide.
Yeah,
and
he's hiding
with the rest of Asgard.
Yeah.
And this is where like,
which
Hela,
is going
to
be a real tough
that.
Sell. Like even if they just flew away. And got off of Asgard. Like at some point, he's got to take his little gypsy costume off. And
yeah,
be like, hey,
you know,
hey guys, I remember when I helped us escape.
There's a point in the moment where the only thing you can do in the moment is not die
for
yeah,
sure,
and
yeah.
figure the other part
yeah.
out later.
Yeah,
you know? And I
yeah,
think that's
sure.
where Scourge is at this moment.
Oh, for sure.
So Hela stops the ship with those giant spikes.
Yep,
and it lets the rest of the undead warriors start climbing up there, and that's when he does the face turn.
Yeah,
he pops out with Dez and Troy.
Yeah,
and just starts mowing down. Now I didn't think this was funny because he starts mowing down those things, and then he shoots that spike off, and then as he's shooting the spike off, and the ship starts to raise again, that's when he jumps out like for Asgard. Dude, you're leaving. You know? Like, you could have just stayed on the ship.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally.
Like, you well, freed it. That's what
he,
you were trying to
do. He had probably
do.
Realized at that point, like, man, remember that time I didn't cut that girl's head off? Isn't gonna get me past.
Yeah, really, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I might as well go down there and get stabbed by Hela, which is totally what happens.
That's totally what happens, yeah. So the plan now at this point is to bring Ragnarok
yep.
to Asgard. He basically tells Loki, like, he's like, look, you got to go into the treasure chamber, grab the helmet, throw it on the eternal flame. It's the only way. We've got to bring Ragnarok to Asgard. And then you get that great scene where Loki's doing it. He grabs the helmet. He's running to the eternal flame, and he stops, and he sees the Tesseract.
Yeah.
And it kind of pauses on it for a moment right before he drops the helmet onto
skull.
The flame.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I have to point out, too, real quick, like, even as Thor is realizing that, you know, we weren't supposed to stop it, we were supposed to cause it.
Yeah.
Surtur definitely told him that.
Yeah.
Surtur was like, you're, you know, like, in the very first scene of the movie, Surtur was like, you can't stop Ragnarok, you caused Ragnarok, you know, I caused Ragnarok, you know, you can't stop it, you're part of it, type
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that... It's foretold, and it comes true.
Yeah, and it comes true.
And he causes Ragnarok, and he shows up, and I love how nobody is in Asgard, and he's still going, Asgard will fall at my might, and he's so smashing everything. I am your doom. There's nobody there.
Yeah,
I love that.
He's a giant fire demon. He's not peeking into windows.
I know. It's so great. But it works perfect because Hela, like, she wants Asgard to still be there because she wants to rule Asgard.
Yeah, well, that's also the source of her power.
Right, yeah. So she goes to stop it, and that thing just, it gets her.
Yeah.
Obliterates her.
Yep.
It's awesome.
And everybody else rides off
into
the sunset.
Everybody rides off into the sunset, and Loki totally
Korg
stole the Tesseract, as we find out later.
Korg and
spoilers.
Aha. Korg and Meek. Oh, Meek's dead. I just
I stepped on him on the bridge.
I felt so bad.
I've been carrying him around all day.
Oh, look, Meek's alive.
What was your question?
Meek's alive.
He's like, where do we go? I don't know. Meek, where are you from?
Yeah.
I don't want to go to a planet of Meeks.
Well, I love, too, when they're watching Asgard get destroyed. And,
and
Korg's like... He's like, as long as the foundation is strong, this will be a haven for all beings around there. We can rebuild. It will be a haven for all
beings.
And
then the whole world explodes.
Oh, never mind. The foundation's gone.
Those foundations are gone. Sorry. Yeah.
So good,
man.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
Okay.
That brings us to the end. Yeah.
So they decide they're going to head to Earth.
Yep. They're going to say, head to Earth. Thor sits down as the king of Asgard for the first time in all these movies.
I do really like that little bit where he's talking to Loki and he's like, you know, if you were here, I'd think about hugging you. And he whips that thing at him and he catches it.
Yep.
Because he finally is there for once.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, man. So I guess we should talk about the credit scenes because we got two of them in this, right?
Two of them, yep.
So mid-credits...
Mid-credits is Loki asking Thor if it's a good idea to take him back to Earth.
Yeah.
And Thor's like, probably not, but we'll figure it out.
Well, the best part is like, is it a good idea to go back to Earth? And Thor's like, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
People love me on Earth. It's wonderful.
Let me rephrase. Is it a good idea for me to go back to Earth? Oh,
yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
He says, but we'll figure it out. Yeah. I have a feeling everything's going to be just fine.
And then, boom, Thanos' ship is right in front
Thanos
of them.
Thanos' ship is
appeared. Which leads directly into Infinity War. Yeah,
which is fine. I mean, we'll probably expand on that a little bit, Infinity War, but since we're talking about Ragnarok, I will say that's one of the things in retrospect. Like, as much as I love this movie, in retrospect, this movie turns out to really be all for nothing.
Right.
Yeah. Such a bummer, right? Yeah. The way it all goes down there at
the
beginning.
We saved everybody for like a week.
Right. Yeah, for a little bit. Until Thanos showed up.
Well, now, they have always said there's plenty of people who got off of that ship. Like, not all Asgardians are dead. Because people have specifically, you know, asked about when that happened in Infinity War. There was a lot of questions about Korg and Valkyrie and all of them.
Yeah, because they weren't there. Yeah.
And they basically said, like, they haven't said who's alive and who's dead, but they said, you know, there are people who, for whatever
escaped.
For whatever reason, aren't there. And
well, I mean, theoretically, Thanos probably only killed half the ship, right? Like, that's his thing.
No, he blew up the whole ship.
Oh, that's his thing.
Yeah. Never mind. Sorry.
If there were any survivors, half of them are gone.
I love that it's totally Loki's fault that Thanos even showed up there. Because Loki took that Tesseract.
Took the Tesseract,
and Thanos was tracking it.
You really are the worst.
Yeah.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
We are getting ahead of ourselves.
So the end credit scene was just Jeff Goldblum congratulating everybody on a
successful...
Great,
I'm
very proud of you. It's been a great revolution. And
I had a partner too.
Yeah, you can't have a revolution without somebody to overthrow. So good job, everybody. And let's say it's a tie.
Yeah, let's say it's a tie.
I like how, like, you get to the, you know, after the mid-credit sequence, and you're just reveling in the movie you just watched, and you know, if you think at all, man, how could that have been any better? Then they give you 30 more seconds of Goldblum.
Yeah,
dude, man, he was just the best.
I do also think it's interesting to note here in the comics. The Grandmaster and the Collector are like the same race.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're like the same people, and they come from like they're all millions of years old. There's like a handful of them. They're all millions of years old.
Beyonder one of those too?
Maybe. I don't remember specifically that. Okay. But they're all, well, I don't think so, because they're all kept alive by like a goal, you know, like the Collector is kept alive because he wants to collect everything.
Oh, okay.
The Grandmaster is kept alive because of he runs the tournament.
Yeah.
There's like the only other one that I remember specifically, there's like a gardener, and he's kept alive because he has this garden that he tends.
Yeah.
And so they're all kind of not quite celestial beings, but something a little more than that.
That's crazy. I've never really I've never known anything about this character before this movie.
Yep.
So
I hope he comes back. I know that.
I do too. I hope that wasn't just the end of him. I want to see more Goldblum at some point.
Well, have you seen there's so they did the shorts that were like Thor with a weird schlubby roommate.
Yeah.
They did another one that is so like after Thor has left this roommate, he gets a new roommate and it's the Grandmaster.
Oh my goodness.
What?
Yeah,
where do I find that?
I have not seen that.
I think it's on the Ragnarok DVD.
Okay.
But there's one he ends up, they start a band, and he like, just go watch it. I won't even say anymore. Just go watch it.
Will do.
But it's good.
Okay. So that about...
That wraps it up. Thor Ragnarok, man. Oh my God. It's easily one of my favorites, just because like, I don't know, like it's going to be hard to position these when we rank all of them because
I'm
I feel like this movie stands out as one of my favorites, but like feels like for different reasons than some of the other movies are my favorites. Yep. You know what I mean? But it's one of the ones like we've talked about the ones that we can watch over and over, and this is one of them for me. This movie is always awesome no matter how many times I watch it. It always makes me laugh. It's always exciting. We get that Led Zeppelin song. Yep. We get those awesome fight scenes. I mean, man, dude, this is Thor done right as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Thor Ragnarok is not the best movie ever made. I'm quite sure of that.
Right.
But I am not going to go on record as saying anything specifically is better than this. It's not going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, this is just a great example. Because you can say, you know, somebody looked at this and went, man, this movie is about a space Viking and his big green science monster friend.
This
movie just needs to be a rip-roaring good time. Like, we're not writing Shakespeare here.
Yep.
You know, and that's what they made it, and it was great. I give Thor Ragnarok 7 out of 5 Loki helmets.
Whoa!
Which is 14 big bendy horns.
Oh my gosh, 14 big bendy horns. That's great. That's the highest rated Thor we've had yet.
Love this movie, man.
So good. All right, guys. Well, hopefully you enjoyed our recap of the film and geeked out right alongside us there. If you haven't already, make sure you check out all of the other episodes of our Marvel podcast, because we've talked about every MCU movie up to this one, and we've only got a couple left until the end game here. So
go and watch Black Panther. It'll be the next one we cover.
That's right. That's right.
That way you can geek out with us for Black Panther.
It's going to be another good geek out one, I think, for sure. You guys can check us out in multiple different platforms. So you can find the video version on YouTube. Just search for Geek Easy Podcast and hit the subscribe button. And if you're an audio podcast person, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Podbean, or your preferred podcasting app. So make sure you guys follow us, rate us, do all that good stuff. And that's going to wrap things up for Thor Ragnarok. So until next time,
Marvel Goodyear.
Let's play Get Help.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not doing good help.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests, and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast.